Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Dave Hooper, who for 12 years, Dave has worked for companies such as Microsoft and Facebook before transitioning into starting his own agency called Build a Better Website. Today, we're going to be discussing Dave's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dave.
Thank you for having me, Julia. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, yeah, very excited to have you here with us. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
So I had an early career in music, which is very much, you know, a freelancer's world, a very creative field. And it's definitely a journey, and it kind of sets you up for creativity and trying to really build something on your own, even though music is a collaborative experience. You know, it's definitely kind of, you know, people talk about your hardwiring or whatever it is that starts you in life and how you're structured, which I'm definitely trying to stay in tune with. But I think entrepreneurs all share a certain thing. I feel like I'm one, and I really enjoy working with entrepreneurs because I understand the journey. So
yeah,
you know, that's kind of where it comes from for me.
Awesome. So you have a very interesting background. You know, you started off in the music industry, you've worked for Microsoft, you've worked for Facebook. How did you get your start in digital marketing?
So you know, I was a web developer, and I worked as a UI prototyper, and I worked in UX, and I really enjoy the psychology that goes into those things. You know, I tell people after I explain what the acronyms actually mean, you know, that UI and UX has a lot to do with people and how they function, what they see, where their eyes go, what our habits are as humans are. And I think building a website plays into those things. And then when you start talking about marketing those things, it's the same kind of mindset. You know, what are people looking for? What do people want? You know, some of those unfortunate truths that people don't like to read, they don't like to think, you know, video is really dominant now. And following those kinds of trends plays right into marketing as marketing has evolved. And I find the common thread through building websites and then promoting them, you know, it's that field of dreams analogy that's overused. You know, you build it and they will come. You actually have to work on getting people to come to the website. And those commonalities are really kind of what drove me to build websites and now drives me to market them as well.
Interesting. So tell us, share a little bit with us about what it was like in those early days when you were first starting out with building Build a Better Website.
So I, you know, I was having a sort of a thriving web development career at Facebook. But what I noticed about Facebook, and I was working on very big enterprise level projects, is really big groups, very slow moving, very impersonal, and a lot of ambitious people, a lot of detail-oriented people. It's a great environment to learn your craft, but it lacked heart to me, just because I'd had more of a visceral enjoyment of my music career, and I kept thinking, couldn't I have that same kind of enjoyment with tech? And so I, right before COVID, I decided to leave. I joke, I was time to stop lining Zuckerberg's pocket and do something of my own. and most web developers had helped people on the side as we all kind of had side projects or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, I'm going to start an agency that's focused on small business. And I became a small business myself. Mm-hmm. And experienced all the challenges, let's say. You know, things are expensive for small business. There's a lot to do. The list is long, and you enter into that world of dividing your time, half working in the business, half working on.
Yes.
And websites range from the DIY stuff that you can do for almost free, and then to hiring agencies who call people like me. And then those budgets are astronomical for most small businesses are out of touch. And there seemed to be an underserved market for small business. Mm-hmm. And being one myself, I felt like, well, I understand what it's like being in your shoes, and I would love to help. And I created this agency with streamlining and automating and being very efficient, hyper efficient, so that I could offer the kinds of services that I was involved in at the big tech companies to small business, so it could give them a bit of a leg up, at least on the web development side. Marketing is kind of its own expense, unfortunately. Can't really negotiate for ad spending costs, that kind of thing. But at least I could get the websites done for small business so they could thrive, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's such a needed service. And I love that you're able to offer that to the small business owners. And you mentioned, you know, the whole, you know, if you build it, they will come, which, you know, isn't the case. So how did you bring in those first few clients to help grow your agency?
Yeah, so my sister-in-law had been involved in business networking, specifically with BNI. I know there's others that do that kind of thing. And she said, you should try it out. And so I jumped in, and it was odd at first, you know, kind of promoting yourself. You know, when you're in a big company as a worker, you have a manager, you get tasked, and you just do what you're told. When you're running the show and you're trying to nurture clients and wearing that sales hat, it resonated when I was there, where there were business owners all in the same project of referring each other and getting to know each other and giving very warm referrals. You know, I know somebody that can help you. Mm-hmm. I think I had the advantage that just about every business, I would argue, should have a website, needs a website, you know, so I'm a universal service for people, you know.
Of course, yes.
And this notion of building a better website, there's so much subjective in building a website that I would argue you can always have a better website. Yeah, that was a huge success and something for my industry I cite as the key. That's what built it for me, you know, networking, word of mouth, creating a network of like-minded business owners who each do what they do, you know, but really want to try to help each other in the fields that they're in. So
interesting. Yeah. So was BNI specifically your networking group of choice, or did you go to various different? Because I know with BNI specifically, you have to dedicate it's a time commitment. It's, I believe you have to attend every meeting, or you have to send someone in your place. And it's definitely, you know, a substantial time commitment. So was that sort of your main way that you used your networking efforts?
Oh, Julia, that's a really good question. So if you haven't noticed already, I'm a chatty person, and I'm famous for turning a half hour lunch or coffee into 2 hours. So time is important to me. I very specifically, especially because this all happened during the lockdown and the COVID, everything going to Zoom. I am very much about Zoom only networking. Mm-hmm. And because you can get in and out in an hour. And yes, it's an hour a week, depending on the size of your group, sometimes a little longer. But an hour well spent, in my opinion, especially when there's clients coming in. You know, people spend the time that they spend doing whatever they do. Mm-hmm. I think it goes in that column, a very useful column of spending that time. And I go even further, because once you're in that ecosystem, you can guest. And I guested in BNI groups in Australia and London and different places where, you know, I have one of the services, I can help all over the planet, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
It was working for me. Certainly, I'm aware of this idea that I go in as someone with the experience that I have, where there are others who learn in their ways, or, you know, didn't have the good fortune to work for those big name companies. I mean, that's a that was something I learned in the music industry as well. You know, once you get a big gig with a famous artist, suddenly you're the person to call, you know, because that makes people appear like you're hyper qualified for it when you're the same person you were before you worked at those big companies or for those big artists. But I mean, BNI absolutely worked for me, and I stay in a Zoom only group. You know, I think the in-person groups can be a time drain for sure.
Yeah.
It depends on your style and what you want to do. Yeah.
It's so interesting. I'm always curious to hear what others' experiences are with BNI, because I've heard you can have a ton of success. So that's really great to hear that that was your experience.
Yeah. An advantage to the extroverts, I think. I think one thing about the music industry is that all musicians are want to be comedians, and we're all jokesters and not afraid and make fools of ourselves, you know. And you get in these network meetings, and there's plenty of people who've never done it or are afraid of the camera and are very, you know, it's hard. That's a rite of passage, or that's, you know, it's a barrier you need to break.
Yes.
Talk about what you do. I think passion always translates. If I tell web clients when we're talking about marketing, because video has such is so effective, whether it's professionally shot video or not, if you are saying, this is what I do, I'm really passionate about it, I'm really good at it, and if you are this kind of person, then I can help you in the best way possible, and not sounding too much like you're bragging, because it's hard to not sound like you're bragging about yourself. But I think that expression that from the heart, like, I love my business and I want to help you.
Yeah,
I've seen that works. And just putting that kind of video on a website and nothing else can be the difference.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. I think, when you've got that genuine passion, it translates. You can't fake that desire to genuinely want to help other business owners. So I think that makes so much sense. And I love that. Awesome. So how do you fast forward to, you know, today, how do you continue to grow your agency? You know, is it still heavily networking based, or are there other avenues that you're using to bring in leads into your agency?
Yeah. So I find I'm still doing the networking thing, and I would say that's maybe the primary, but you know, I occasionally branch out and run ads. I try to experience the things that I help my clients do. You know, and everybody's field is different, and what works for one company might not work for another. So I try that, but I've found strategic partnerships have been a really good one, where I work with, so for my industry, someone who's a business coach, someone who's telling a business, look, your website needs help, or your marketing strategy, you need to bring in a pro for this.
Yes.
Those are the very people that can do sales for you, essentially, you know, where they walk people in. Here, Dave can help you, you know, and I think strategic partnerships are the way. And same with digital marketers that don't build websites, because I can wear just the website development hat.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if that's what somebody needs, then, again, another common thread with the music industry, because it was all the other, so I played drums, or arguably still play, but being friends with other drummers was the single best way to get work, because, you know, they're the ones who are going to call you and say, hey, I'm already booked. Can you, you know, so-and-so needs you, you know, can you do it? And I think befriending people that are kind of right to the right and the left of your industry. Key.
I think that's a great strategy, because there's so many agencies out there that will specialize only in PPC or only in SEO, only in social media management. So, you know, when you're able to create those strategic partnerships and just, you know, refer work back and forth, it makes so much sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. So what would you say is the key to maintaining happy clients?
So, you know, probably everybody will say communication, which I would agree. You know, I think something that I hear from people is that oftentimes a web developer or a company that does web and SEO sometimes disappear on them, or they are left just wondering what's going on. How am I, you know, how I need some way to gauge my success. A lot of business owners find looking at a Google Analytics report very confusing, you know, mm-hmm. they don't really get it. So I think speaking very plainly, trying to explain in language that's universal and not very techy. I think what I noticed with the development community is that we tend to use that shorthand and all the acronyms and all the there's a lingo and a jargon that we use there that doesn't actually work with a business owner who, you know, they're busy in their passion and their passion is not what we do, you know. So I think yes. that universal communication is absolutely key. I also couple that with as much regular reporting and I try to give them as much information. So for the most part, they say, okay, well, this is good. You know, things are continuing and progressing and there's activity and I'm not left wondering what's going on in that world, you know, in that tech world.
I agree. Yeah. Just managing those expectations from the start, you know, finding out how often your client wants you to be communicating with them. I think it's a great strategy, you know, and then just clearly managing, you know, what they should be expecting from you and not leaving them, you know, wondering at the end of the day, like you mentioned. I think it's just a great way to help prevent frustration down the road, create those happy clients who are going to bring in those referrals at the end of the day.
Yeah. And if I could add to that too, just one of those sort of tech tips that I've come to along the way. You know, I used Loom, or I've actually been using Descript lately, which do the same thing. But this giving guided tours through someone's web property and their analytics, you know, with me inset in the corner and hearing my voice takes me 5 minutes, but it saves me a half hour to 45 minute Zoom meeting or phone call. And I can produce those daily if need be, you know, and I can't tell you how many clients have said that was so cool because I was confused the first run through, but I got to play it again and it makes sense. And I appreciate you showing me what we're doing and explaining what it is.
Yeah.
And it supports that whole world of communicating. Right? We're back to,
to
the initial. It's just communicate. And that's an easy time saving way to communicate.
Absolutely. Yes. I love that. Perfect. Yeah. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
Well, it's funny, actually growing the agency is hard, you know, as you want to keep pulling in clients and then staffing up or bringing on help to maintain that pace. Always with that fear that, you know, what if things slow down and then I brought people on and then I got to back them off, you know, like that growth is what I see with my clients as well. You know, it's interesting to, in so many ways, precede them on this journey, you know, like, I can't do it all myself. You know, yes, I'm a small business, but, you know, knowing when to grow, when to bring on help, how to bring on help, you know, because that all comes in so many different versions, you know, at so many different price points, and making those moves strategically and smart in a smart way is the challenge.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some things that you've learned from, you know, when it's time to hire someone? Is there anything that you now look for before you make that leap and hire another team member?
So over the course, I've done my share of working with overseas help and help here in the States. And, you know, you learn all the things where, You know, I'm a huge proponent of working in groups, international groups. When I was at Microsoft, I was the only American-born white guy on the team. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun and interesting. And, you know, I thought that really added a lot to the project. That being said, I think considering American audiences and our mix of tolerance for you know, the way things are said and how things are worded and that kind of stuff, you know, that it's a delicate subject, obviously, but, mm-hmm. you know, having, getting articles written, you know, there needs to have a certain flavor depending on your audience. You know, I'm dancing around it, as you can tell, because it's an interesting subject, but, you know, absolutely, there are other areas that are highly technological that are more behind the scenes. Just knowing
who would be the best fit for those positions.
Yeah. And definitely this is one of those subjects that's hard to talk about, and I don't need to, you know, we all want to do the right thing for our companies and grow them, and at the same time, you know, not spend all of your profit, you know, just growing, because we all have the bills to pay too. So it's a delicate balance for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a challenge that I want to say, you know, every agency owner has had at some point. So just figuring out when that balance of when is the right time to hire, and then of course, you know, finding who's going to be the best fit for that.
Yeah.
So where do you see Build a Better Website in 5 years' time?
So my wife and I have this conversation a lot about, you know, how far can I grow this? I think that challenge of replacing yourself or finding somebody that has your same skill set so that the business keeps going, even if you step away for vacation or something, you know, those kinds of things. But I do realize, and I am inviting this concept that I'm absolutely looking at the things that I do that I don't have to do, the things that I don't enjoy doing, and finding somebody to do those first. I would like to find another developer that has my skill set so that I could effectively double what's going on. My business is about many small clients, not a few big clients, which mm-hmm. brings its own challenges because there's just a lot of accounts, you know.
Yes.
But I like that size. It's harder to grow a lot of little projects, you know. Certainly you get a big client with a big dollar amount, that's easy in some respects, you know, but I just need more people along the way to grow it. So in 5 years, I'd love to be twice this size, twice as many clients.
Yep.
And it's become easier the more I've grown, I'm finding too, because as you grow your client base, there's more people talking about you and referring you.
Yes.
So agencies that might have a dozen really big clients, there's only a dozen really big clients talking about you. Somebody like me, you get into 100 plus clients. That's a lot of conversations going on. And that's another a benefit that I've just recently noticed. Now people are just calling, and I'm happily surprised, but that's great.
That's a really good point. Yeah. The more clients you bring on, the more people talking about you, the more referrals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions for you.
Yeah.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So I recently read a book called Ethos. It's The Career Musician's Code. The author is Michael Nomad Rapol. I found it to be one of those books that is universal. It's told through the music industry and how somebody that's artistic and not business-minded needs to be more business-minded, and there is more to working than just being great, in his case, at music. You know, you still need to have the right conversations and say the right things and put yourself in these things. So it's a universal to me that I I really enjoyed reading. Certainly with my music background, it resonated a lot with me, but I highly recommend it. It's an ethos. It's a really, really interesting short read, but it's great.
Very cool. Sounds like a great recommendation.
Yeah.
And what does your morning routine look like?
So I find, because I'm an extrovert and I get energy from meetings, that I make sure, well, first it's lots of espresso, which I'm a coffee person, but I put my meetings in the first parts of my day, because that charges me up. And then I'm ready for the rest of the day. So
yeah.
This is one of those know yourself kind of things. If you're drained by meetings, I advise put those at the end of the day, because then you can call it a day. But for me, that's my routine. Absolutely. I try to open my meeting calendar up for before noon, right? So I get all that done, and then I work the second half of the day.
That's such a great point, because yes, I'm the opposite. So I get a little bit drained by meetings. So yeah, I have those certain tasks that I do first thing in the morning, but I don't schedule my meetings first thing in the morning.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's such a great point.
Yeah.
Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
So I've begun to follow Oz Alon, who's one of the founders of HoneyBook.
Okay.
Yeah. Very interesting. I'm a big fan of HoneyBook, and that's likely where I'm going with the number four on the Fast Five. But just really interesting people that saw an opening for small business and entrepreneurs and built a tool just for them, priced for them, that works so much better than the big companies like HubSpot, which are amazing tools, but also amazingly expensive.
Yes.
But I just really appreciate how they formed and created something great like HoneyBook.
Awesome. Yeah. Love it. And what is your favorite online tool?
Yeah. So I'm going to say HoneyBook. And I, you know, I think it took me a while to seek out products that really worked for small business. And HoneyBook has been amazing. Just, you know, there's a lot of tools that are in that space for managing sales, you know, CRMs, that kind of thing. But it definitely saw that it was specifically designed for entrepreneurs. I want to say it's $300 and something a year, which is compared to the big tools.
Yes.
But it does all the things that you need, you know, from just email templates to making easy proposals. And I'm a subscription model is my company, so I don't charge up front. Everything is just, you know, 12 months evenly spread, very affordable. So they manage all of that. So I don't like accounting, so I don't do any. It's great. So yeah, and their support is great. Woman-owned business primarily, so it's great. This is really good. Really
interesting. Tool. Yeah, very cool. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
So I think that I wish I had known to pay better attention to my field. And that would apply to music in the beginning and then tech now, because so for instance, with music, the pay hasn't increased for musicians in 25 years. So, you know, musicians aren't keeping their eye on the business ball. They're more just about, I want to be a better player. And it turns out it's really hard to make a living doing that. It's very, very difficult. And that's a whole other conversation. But I would say, as I was sort of simultaneously working at the tech companies, like, I wish I had started my agency 10 years prior and had the I don't know if it's courage, but just seeing that would have been the smarter move, just paying attention to tech's moving forward.
Yeah.
Music's not moving. You know, don't be afraid to step out on your own if you're unhappy in the corporate environment. I banged my head against the wall in that process structured corporate environment. That was not me.
Yeah.
And I'm thriving now. So, you know, go towards the your area of thrive. You pay attention to your field and don't be afraid to go for it.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And you know, whenever you see that there is opportunity, like you said, you know, just taking that plunge, you know, starting sooner than later, because you know, over time it's an investment and the company's just going to grow quicker. So yeah, great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dave. It was a real pleasure to learn about your journey of starting your agency and your story. So thank you again for joining me for today's show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.